Here we are again tonight, and we ended up last time with 2 Timothy 2:24, and that was in study 206, and we didn't get to finish all of our scripture that Jack laid out for us there, and I'm going to read that again, and we'll pick it up, and then we'll do the rest of verse 24 and do 25 tonight, because there's a lot of stuff that Jack wanted us to look at here, and we didn't get all of it looked at because we only did five places last week, and it was in the Old Testament, and it was where Israel got into problems and had to call on God to help them get out of the problems. And that seems to be the way it's been, you know, the way it was. And, but we only got down through, Amos, and, we were going to go from there to Romans. And so I want to finish that unfinished business because it's relatively important that, what we look at here is what Paul thought Timothy ought to know just before he left this earth, before he passed away. And so I had my notes here, and I hope they're all still in order. And but let's look at the rest of these that was in study 206, and then we'll pick up with study 207, which is today's study. And so let's go back, and I'm going to read 24 again. It says in 2:24, 2 Timothy, "And the servant of the Lord, or the bondsman of the Lord, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient." And we talked about that, and I think we read Jack's notes, but we didn't get through all of the scripture that he generally puts out. And so we're going to do that. So let's go back to, if you will, for me, and let's go back to Romans 1, and we'll start with that. And we'll see just how much of this that we can get through, because again, Jack Eberle's notes sometimes and scripture are really, really important. Romans 1, 1 through 4, and that's on page 1662. And, it says this, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ." Well, he certainly was a servant because he had been called and he had been chosen for this job. And so Paul gave it his all. He was one that never backed away from anything. And toward Timothy here, he is refreshing his memory. "Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in his holy scripture, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." And so, Christ, we know, had an ek anastasia. He had an out resurrection from the rest of the dead ones. And he was here after that resurrection. He was here the 40 days, which the 3 days in the grave made 43 days. And it was 7 days until Pentecost. And he says, you know, stay here in Jerusalem until the Comforter comes. And the Comforter is the Holy Spirit of God. And of course, Christ became, had the leadership then of the Holy Spirit, that it could dwell in mankind rather than with or upon. And this is little tidbits that we need to remember and to understand as we go along, as you know, as to how things had gone. So that's what we wanted to look at there in Romans 1:1-4. Okay, the next one is 1 Corinthians 7. So we turn from Romans on to Corinthians, and we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 7, and we're going to look at 20 through 24 in 1 Corinthians 7. That's page on page 1707. And 20 through 24, 1 Corinthians 7. Page 1707, and we're going to look at 20 through 24. And it says this, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Well, why would Timothy need to be reminded of this? Or anyone might be reminded of this. Well, this is what Satan got into trouble with. He didn't like the calling that he had. He didn't like the position that God had given him. But you don't just choose and pick when God chooses and picks for you. Okay, it said, art thou called being a servant? Care not for it? That was the question. Or the answer to that question. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. And it says, you are bought with a price. Be ye not the servant of man? Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with Christ. So don't try to take it upon yourself to do more than God asks you to do. Because he will always outfit you with what it is that you need to do the work that he has called you to do. And that's something else to remember. We all need to take that advice there in 1 Corinthians 7. Okay, we're going to go from 1 Corinthians 7. We're going to jump over 2 Corinthians, and we're going to go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Hang with me just a second. I'm looking. Yeah, Galatians 1. Okay. And we're going to look at verses 6 through 10. And in Galatians, Paul is kind of laying it on to the Galatians people, especially about the law and faith. The law and faith. We're all, if we have hope of life again, That didn't come by the law. It came by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ to do that work, to make you and I available for understanding. Verse 6, and this is on page 1749, if you have a companion Bible. 6 through 10. Our marvel that you are so soon removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But through we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that you have received, let him be accursed. Verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So Paul comes to the understanding that to serve Christ, there's nothing better than that. There's nothing greater than that. There is nothing that can fill you to the full other than what God chooses you to do. And me to do. Okay. That's what Jack wanted us to see in Galatians. So let's go from Galatians to Ephesians. And in Ephesians 6, which I believe is the last chapter. In Ephesians 6, we're going to look at 5 and 6. And this is on page 1769 if you have a companion Bible. So it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. It's not your will. It is God looks at your heart. He looks at what has been established in your heart to do. And so that is what we're talking about here in Ephesians 6. Think about that for a minute as we go on. We're going to go on to a couple of pages over to Philippians 1. We're going to look at Philippians 1 through 4 again, and that's on page 1773, so we didn't turn but two or three pages over to get it. And it says, Paul and Timotheus, on page 1773, if you have a companion Bible, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy, praying for them and making supplications on their behalf to God for them with all the joy that Paul could muster up in his life. And when we talk about Paul having joy, we realize how much tribulations and sufferings he had. So the joy must have been off the chart.
Unspeakable and full of glory.
Yeah, evidently was. Okay, the next one is Colossians 4. So, Jack didn't miss many places to look in Scripture when he was going through this thing. And we're going to look at 12 and 13 of Colossians 4, which is the last chapter of Colossians. And that's on page 1786. And we're going to look at 12 and 13. 4, 12, and 13. And he says this, Epaphras, who is one of you, so he was evidently a Colossian, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them that are in Hierapolis. So, in 12 and 13 there, Paul is telling these Colossians, you know, you've got a servant working for you, and he is also a servant of Christ, that he is a saint as I am. And so we'll go from there to 1 Thessalonians 2, which is basically, if you have a companion Bible, you can just turn one page. But it is on, we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians 2, 5 through 8, and that's on page 1789. 5 through 8, Thessalonians 2. It says, for neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men's salt we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostle of Christ. Verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Quite a thing to think about. And we're going to go two more. 1 Timothy 3. We're going through 2 Thessalonians. And we're going to go to 1 Timothy 3, 1 and 2. See that we had quite a lot here that we didn't. Get to do. And it says in chapter 3, 1 and 2 on page 1802, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, nor striker, nor greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, and not covetous. So, in 1 Timothy 3, he's got a pretty good list, Paul has, that he needs to remind Timothy of. And so that's what Paul wanted us to look at there. Now, let's go to Titus again. Titus 1, 1 through 3. And it says this. It's on page 1816. It says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect or choosing and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And so here, Titus evidently was still around, and Titus was one that Paul cherished for his work that was done, and maybe some of that work was something that we don't really sometimes realize, because some scholars says that what Luke got in the book of Luke for the first several chapters, he got it from Titus, maybe. Or Titus had a great hand in it, because Luke was writing the book for his friend to put in order the things that he thought was necessary that all men would know.
Theophilus, yeah.
And if that be the case, then Titus had been around for a while and knew some things. And so Titus understood his position, having been chosen, and got involved with Paul and those that carried this on. Okay. Having said that, which, see, that turned into another almost 30 minutes. We need to go back to 2 Timothy and look at verse 25, because this is the study for tonight. Maybe we can get through this. I'm not sure that we can. But that's okay.
Yep.
Because I'm going to tell you, Brother Jack Everly put a lot of time and love into what he did. And we've got it, and we need to use it, and we need to get what we can from it, because here we are using something that our friend had left us to use. And it was, to me, it was a very important thing, because I've been dealing with this now for, what, 3 or 4 years. If this is study 207, that means that 52 weeks, once a week, and I know it probably been a little longer than that, but here we are. We're right at the one that would make it 208, which would be 52, 52, 52, and 52.
Oh, well.
So let's get started. Okay. We talked here in 24 about the servant of the Lord must not strive, but to be gentle and all this. And it says in 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. There is nothing any more prevalent than the truth that God provides to us.
And you almost have to tie the two parts of that verse together.
Yeah.
It makes you think from the context that what they're fighting is the present truth.
Yeah.
That they don't want to see the truth of the mystery.
Yeah.
They fight against it.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you go back and you look, regardless of where you open the book to get involved, if God is dealing with man in these situations, you know, quite often man looks at this as being the latter days, because it can be his latter days. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, when we think about witnessing to somebody, then, you know, you think to yourself, well, this may be the last time I'll ever get to talk to this person about this.
Or even that this person, if they come to see it, might be the one that fills up the body.
Yeah. So, you know, that's how important it is. This is what we're looking at here, folks.
Amen.
It is that important. And and you know the structure of these things. Well, I think these two guys that finished this companion side of this thing were certainly scholars. And they found that they could put structure in here. And here's the structure of this next two verses, 25 and 26. We're not going to be able to do 26 tonight for time's sake. But it says the aim of the enemy. You know what the aim of the enemy is? To ensnare you. He set a trap for you. He set a trap in the Garden of Eden. And that trap is still going on. It's still keeping people away from the glorious things that God has offered to us through His wisdom, through His understanding, and through His love. The aim of the enemy is ensnaring. Okay, verse 25. I'm going to read my notes. It said, in meekness. Paul says to the Corinthians, when we think about in this meekness that he comes out in this verse with, Paul says to the Corinthians, what would you rather I come with to you? Having a rod in my hand, or coming to you in God's love? No. What would you rather I do?
Pretty easy choice.
Pretty simple, ain't it? Okay.
I've seen you with a rod in your hand.
Okay. Well, I've had to use a rod a little bit, but also I've got the rod some too. But here we are. That's what he basically said to the Corinthians, and I didn't write it down when I went back and looked it up, but, well, I'll just tell you where it's at. It's in 1 Corinthians 4:21. If you want to look at it sometimes, I'll give you that as a homework. Showing meekness, coming in love is showing meekness. Instructing, it says. Patiuo, which means to train a child and so to chastise him. So, you know, if you're going to train a child, sometimes a little chastisement has to come along with it to get you straight. Because, and this is how God works. He can chastise you too, to get you set straight. You like a little bit of being where you need to be. Let's put it that way.
And we come out of the womb pushing back.
Yeah. Those that oppose themselves is what we're talking about here. Because people don't want to change. They get in this rut, you know. And it's like Brother Larry Dyer once said, he says, you know, coming down the mountains from upstate New York, you could get in some of these places where there was a thing nailed to a tree, It says, choose the rut you're going to get in because you're going to be in it for the next 40 miles. So, and, but, you know, 40 miles can be a lifetime. And so, you know, the chastisement is because you weren't doing exactly what the person that was over you had told you to do or say. And that's the same situation with God. Those who oppose themselves. And it says, if God peradventure, that's a kind of a funny thing, but it means lest at any time will or should give them repentance. Because God always looked to Israel for repentance. Looked to those that were without or outside to come to the knowledge, to the acknowledgement. They're coming to the need of that truth that could set them free. It wasn't the law. It was through the will of God that they come to this knowledge. That they get themselves to a point to where God could finish the trip, if you will. Okay. Give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Boy, what a thought. Okay. Let's see how far we can get with this. This is Jack's deal in verse 25. It says, in meekness, correcting those who oppose, if perhaps may give them the God repentance unto acknowledgement of truth. Bringing on down into the more modern English, in meekness correcting those who oppose, if perhaps God may give them repentance unto acknowledgement of truth. Jack says this, the success of body members is rooted in the Lord. The success is working in his love. Meekness must be the earthly standard. The goal is to teach people to act in their own spiritual interests. Worldly folks are those who generally oppose themselves. Wow. They must know that repentance is required of them to leave their corner of darkness. They in this age will acknowledge the truth of the mystery. Because this is, we're getting down to brass tacks now. We're getting down to what's really important here that Paul is trying to tell Timothy and Titus and whoever that, you know, the important part is doing exactly what you've been called to do. You don't want to change and get off on something else or start up a school or a synagogue or nothing else, but just put forth the truth as God has given it to you to give through your acknowledging the truth. Okay. So we're going to go back. We're going to look at a few more verses of Scripture. Oh, we got a little bit of time left. So let's go back. And we're going to go back to Matthew 5. We're going to start this time back in Matthew. Matthew 5. Matthew 5, 1 and 2. That's on page 1360. And he says this in Matthew 5, 1 and 2. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm just going to read the one, but there's more than that there. But the poor, God says, will be with you always. Not be a time until he makes all things, restores all things. I don't think then we'll have any poor, because God will provide everything that we need that way. Okay. There's two places here. And, no, it was, I don't know what I did with that. But anyway, we want to go to Mark, the book of Mark. Matthew, Mark 1. Mark 1 gives us this. We're going to look at 1 through 4 on Mark 1, and that's page on 1382. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness, and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. So here is Mark 1. So we find that in Mark, and then that kind of goes on. And we go to Luke. We're going to go to Luke 3. Luke 3:3. Okay. I think there's a couple of places in Luke 3:3, page 1439. One verse there. Luke 3:3 says this. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remissions of sin. And this, we're talking here about John the Baptist. He is the forerunner of Christ. He came. That's when all this got going and all this started. Luke 3:3 and also Luke 24, chapter 24, and we're going to read 44 through 47 in Luke 24, page 1509. Did you get that? Luke 24, 44. Through 47. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. They opened he their understanding, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and say unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Okay. Two places there in Luke. Okay, then we want to go to Acts 11. Acts 11 says, let's see, where are we at here? 15 through 18 of chapter 11 of the book of Acts. 11 through 15, that's on page 1605 if you have a companion Bible. Acts 11, 15 through 18. And he says, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remember I the word of the Lord that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? What was I that could withstand God?
Rhetorical question.
Yeah, because he had withstood him. No more. Not from the 11th chapter of the book of Acts.
He tried that long.
It didn't work out for him. Okay, that was in Acts. Let's see if there's another one. Now we're going to go from there to 1 Corinthians 16. So, we're going to go past Romans and back to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. No wonder my old Bible is about wore out. 1 Corinthians 16, 7 through 9, page 1725. Seven through nine of 1 Corinthians 16. He says this, for I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permits, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Seven through nine. So here is Paul talking to the Corinthians about to abide with them for a while. And he says, but I'll not see you now. So he's doing the work of the Lord. And the Lord is doing the directing there. Okay. So we're going to go from there to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, 16 through 18. That's on page 1757. And it says this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Galatians 5:16 through 18. We're going to go from there to Philippians 1. Philippians 1. And we're going to look in Philippians 1. The 27 and 28 on 1775. Verse 27 and 28 of Philippians 1. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, whether I come to see you or else be absent, that I might hear your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one man striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. And I'm going to put comes. And that comes from God. Okay. Philippians 1. We go to Philippians 4. In Philippians 4, we're going to look at 5 and 7. 5, 6, and 7. And that's from 1779. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation there is forbearance. And it could go back to the verse of scripture that we just talked about, that meekness. Because forbearance and meekness and all these things are, moderation are kind of go hand in hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And that's through the work of the Holy Spirit. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay, that's 4 through 7 in Philippians. Okay, the next one is 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians 2:3-5. Page 1796. 2 Thessalonians 2:3-5. Says, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And we're going to go to 5. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And so, again, we go back to the whatever time that man has, he's looking at it from the point of himself, and it could be his last days, and it could be our last day. Anybody, it could be anybody's last day. I had a friend who passed away this last Saturday. Known him all his life. And read it in the paper today. And I said, oh, my goodness. Here we was. Saturday was his last day. Okay. I lost one of my earplugs. So I'll find it.
I'm good.
Huh?
I'll find it.
Okay. From 2 Thessalonians to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 1. Okay, 1 Timothy 1. We're going to look at 18 through 20. And this is on page 1801. And, you know, we've talked about this verse of Scripture a little bit recently, talking about, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, who I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So, these two people did a great injustice to, evidently, to the Apostle Paul and his teaching. And I know that Alexander did, because he was the one that made the shrines for this woman goddess that they...
The coppersmith.
The coppersmith, yeah. Dealt with that. Okay, that's what he wanted you to look at there. 20... 1 Timothy 18 through 20. Oh, he says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies that went before on thee, that by them mightest war a good warfare. So, this was directed to young Timothy straight on as to what needed to be done there with those folks. Okay. Now the next one is in chapter 2, and we're going to read 1 through 4. Because he goes on to say, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men. Where we heard that? We just heard it more times than one in these verses of Scripture. Being made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. But for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. And we turn the page and it says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And then we go from 1 Timothy 4 to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. And it says this. We're going to read verse 11. That's page 1807. But it says, But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Talking about the love of money and all that. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And I'm going to read 12 because that goes along with it. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Then we're going to look at verse 20. That's on the same page if you have a companion Bible. It's the last scripture on that page. It says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoid profane and vain babblings up in opposition to science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. And that closes his first book. And we're still in 2 Timothy, but we want to go to one more place and look at Titus 1, verses 8 and 9, and we'll be done for tonight. Titus 1, 8 and 9, on page 1816. It says, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding faith, the faithful word that has been taught, that he might be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. And I'll just read 10. It says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. And so that's what Jack has left us to look at in verse 25. So you see, verse 24 and 25 were loaded down with things that Brother Jack wanted us to see and understand. And so here we are. Just barely made it. Not fudging a little bit. But that is that we're one verse being out of chapter 2. We only got about two more chapters to go, and we'll have basically finished Brother Jack's book.
Wow.
And I hope you've got as much out of it as I have, because I have learned a lot of stuff since we got started there. And that's what we need to continue to do, to learn a lot. That Christ is, of what Christ has done and what God has left for us to understand. And I'll put up my little notes because there's a pile of them here. Thank you for being with us tonight. And we'll go home and see if we can get our car cranked.